Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Before we dive in, let me just remind you, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Amazon, hit the follow button so you don't miss future episodes. And if you're on Apple, leaving a review helps more people find the show. If you're on Spotify, a quick star rating does the exact same thing. And I hope you've been blessed. It's been a blessing to get to talk to you about theology and how God's word can have a practical impact on our lives. Would you help us help others to get in on the conversation as well? Your reviews and subscriptions, they totally help. How do they help? I'm not exactly sure how they help, but I know that they do. And so I'm just wondering if you would mind taking just a minute, maybe less than 60 seconds, and helping us out. All right, today we want to continue our series of theology pictures. We have been pulling out the picture book to help us understand and apply pictures of areas of theology. And today I want to take us to an incredible picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a picture that the New Testament lays out for us. Like, I don't have to get you to imagine this picture. I'm just going to read it from Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And we're going to consider what this picture would look like. So just imagine that you pull out your paints and you are trying to paint this picture, this word picture that John gives us. What would it have looked like when John met Jesus there on the island of Patmos, the penal colony, the Roman penal colony island right off of the coast of ancient Ephesus and Miletus, modern Western Turkey? It's one of the Greek islands that is off the coast, just a couple of hour boat ride from the west coast of Turkey. And you can go visit this place today. And here John is imprisoned, and Jesus comes and reveals himself to John at that moment. And here's what it says, Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. I have to think this was not like anything John had ever experienced in the earthly ministry of Jesus. Maybe as close as we could come was that Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were up on the high mountain, and Jesus sort of pulled back the mask, if you will. It's not really a mask, of course, of his humanity, and just let the deity pour out. And he was shining there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm struggling for words. You remember that great story. Peter was struggling. He didn't know what to do. And he said, let's make three tabernacles. Remember, because Moses and Elijah also showed up when Jesus was glowing like that. But this picture, I think, is even different than the picture on the Mount of Transfiguration. So here John sees this picture of Jesus, this vision of Jesus. And let's consider what this has to say about our Lord Jesus in all of his glory. So obviously, this is just going to be a really light touch because this picture is spectacular and there's so many details. But the seven lampstands, so just imagine golden stands there, maybe with an oil lamp on top of it made of gold that could be moved around. And there's seven of them. Now, there's many things in the book of Revelation I don't understand. I wish I understood more of the book of Revelation. I'm so thankful when John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us what the symbols mean. At the end of Revelation 1, verse 20, he says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Okay, that's helpful. So these are lampstands. They're symbols of these seven churches. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is in the midst of them. What do we see about Jesus? First of all, he's described like a son of man. So son of man, Jesus called himself that a lot. Some people say that was his favorite self-designation. And it could just mean a man. It could also mean a prophet. I think the prophet Ezekiel calls himself son of man many times, or God calls him that. But in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, there's a reference to the son of man coming up before the Ancient of Days in the clouds and receiving his kingdom. I mean, it is a veiled reference to the deity of Jesus. So the God-man, that's perfect. The son of man, that's who he is. It's like, wait, are you saying you're God? Are you saying you're the Messiah? Or are you just saying you're a man? Are you saying you're a prophet, someone important? So Jesus used that expression for himself. But here in Revelation 1, where he says, in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. Yeah, I think there's probably a reference to Jesus's self-designation, but I think it also could just be saying he looked like a man. He looked like a person. I mean, you know, if you've read the book of Revelation, John's going to see some stuff, right? He's going to see beasts and horns and all kinds of things. And to say, even the four living creatures, right, as he describes them later in the book of Revelation. In contrast to that, this is one that looks like a human. He looks like the Son of Man. And so I think that might even be the priority there in this picture we're trying to sort out, learning more about Jesus. What else does it say? He's clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. I think of dignity when I think of the long robe. The golden sash also points to his royalty, again, his dignity. He's not just anybody walking on the side of the island on that rocky beach. This is someone of great dignity and value. John MacArthur connected the dots to the high priestly garments and maybe saying that this is a picture of Jesus, who is our great high priest. And of course, the book of Hebrews spells that out in no uncertain terms. Well, what else do we see? We see that his hair is white like wool, as white as snow. Now, I just had to laugh and think of how many people spend how much money on hair products to, you know, get their hair not to be white. But the Bible is very clear that white hair, gray hair, is a sign of dignity and respect and wisdom. And this is blazing white, right? This is white like snow. So if you're in a northern state, Todd Friel, host of Wretched Radio, we love to hear him. And he's originally from Minnesota. Well, if you go up to Minnesota now, there's parts of Minnesota, I'm sure, that in the wintertime have beautiful white snow. But the times I've been to Minnesota, I've really just been around the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And a lot of the snow I've seen there is kind of city grimy snow. But Anyway, I think the picture here is going to be of pure white snow, maybe with the sunshine blazing, bouncing off of it. And so this is like, as the ESV Study Bible says, infinite divine wisdom here on display. How about one more? It says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. So Jesus could look. I mean, it's like X-ray vision, right? He can see what's going on. And of course, he's about to do some serious evaluation of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And, you know, you think you can hide what you've got going on in your church, but Jesus can see through any pretense. He knows exactly what's going on. And so over and over again in Revelation 2 and 3, as he addresses specific churches, he can say with authority and with full accuracy, I know your works. I know what's going on. I know you've got this trial going on, and you've got this person struggling, this person compromising, and this person triumphing all the way to the grave. I know, because my eyes are on fire. Wow, we are considering this great picture, one giant picture in Revelation 1 that's revealing more insight into the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come back after the break. Let's continue to examine this glorious picture of Jesus.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Krotz in just a moment. Eyes like flames of fire. Yeah, Dr. Krotz just described the Jesus that most churches would rather not meet, because we prefer the gentle shepherd to the penetrating judge. Makes me wonder what those eyes of fire see when they look at modern ministry today. The seven churches in Revelation thought they knew where they stood with God. Then Jesus showed up and started talking about what he actually saw in them versus what they pretended to be. This is exactly why Fortis Plus exists. We operate under the same principle that Dr. Krotz is talking about. We're not here to just comfort, but actually examine, to give you content that helps you take an inward look at yourself. Because if Jesus can see through every pretense, then our content should at least attempt the same honesty. And it's absolutely free of charge. All of the content that we're creating, no matter what fellow that it's from, it's all absolutely free. Everything that comes out of Fortis Institute through Fortis Plus is completely, totally, 100% free of charge. We believe that you should be able to access all of the content that we're able to create without any paywall. That's our conviction at Fortis Institute. And so you can download Fortis Plus right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisinstitute.org. And listen, the reason that it's free is because of our gospel partners. From the very beginning, when we were just simply Wretched Radio, before we became Fortis Institute, the heart of this ministry has always been to get to a place where we could provide the content we were creating for free. And we finally arrived there, but it's only through the help and support of our gospel partners. Look, if you're a gospel partner, you're not just funding a ministry, you're supporting voices that are willing to help you examine yourself. Now, if you're faithfully giving to your local church, we would be honored if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. But if you are not faithfully giving to your local church, make sure you get that area of your life taken care of first, because that's your first giving priority. We never want you to give to our ministry over your local church. Your local church comes first. But if you are giving there faithfully and you have a margin to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. I think a lot of people think of Jesus as, you know, soft and gentle. And I think, of course, some of those pictures in the picture books, like children's Bible storybooks, sometimes have pictures. I know I grew up in a church that, you know, would use, whether it would be flannel graphs or the teacher in Sunday school would hold up a picture, and you just see these pictures of Jesus with a little lamb around his shoulders. And it's just, you know, you don't You don't like to think that these pictures stick with you, but sometimes they really do. And I think people have this impression that Jesus was really soft and kind of effeminate and would never hurt anybody. And he just, you know, petted sheep and held children on his lap. And wow, you know, pictures of Jesus and pictures of God, they certainly can be very dangerous. And that's why some people make a big deal about in the Ten Commandments about not making any idols. They just don't want to have any visuals about Jesus. But you know what? The Bible actually does give us some pictures. The Bible doesn't, the Bible gives it to us in words, but they're designed for us to imagine things. Of course, the words have symbolic significance. And we have been looking at some pictures of theological categories over in this current series on Integrated. And we are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not looking at all of the pictures of Jesus in the Bible. We're looking at one, but it is so vivid and descriptive what John saw when he saw Jesus on the island of Patmos as he was about to write the book of Revelation. This is how he began in Revelation 1, and we read in the first segment of verses 12 through 16. And it was very significant. We ended with Jesus's eyes on fire, right? And we said it's kind of like laser-like X-ray vision. And it's specifically targeting churches. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus addresses seven real churches in Western Turkey, the churches of Asia Minor. And as he talks to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2:18, he says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." He goes on from there. But Jesus, in these letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he brings out features that John saw in chapter 1. And so he says, yeah, I'm that one with the burning eyes. In other words, I can see in the dark. I can see behind closed doors. I know exactly what's happening, not only in the city of Thyatira. I know what's happening in the church. I know the good things. I know the bad things. I know the compromises. If you ever thought what Jesus thinks about your church, let me assure you, the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what's going on in your church, and he has opinions about what's going on. He's not just sitting there in heaven holding a lamb with a child on his lap, going there. I know you guys mean well in Sharpsburg, Georgia, where our church is. No, Jesus cares very much about what's going on in our church and in your church. And we need to take that very seriously. How else does John describe Jesus? Well, also in his message to the church at Thyatira, in addition to the throwback or the callback to the burning eyes, he also has the burning feet, right? Feet are like burnished bronze. And back in chapter 1, that's exactly what he says in verse 15. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. Wow, okay. That is a picture, isn't it? Burnished bronze. So you think of brass, and you think of brass that's on fire, that's so hot, it's glowing, right? That's the idea. Some of the altars and some of the animal sacrifices were taken to bronze, altered, and offered before the Lord. Well, here Jesus's hot brass feet, no doubt, are pointing to judgment. Judgment. Yes, as the ESV Study Bible says, that Jesus can crush any opponent, absolutely. But he can judge them. Not only does he know what's going on inside, he has the authority of God. He is God the Son, and to bring judgment within the churches. Wow. You would not want that foot landing on your neck. It goes on to talk about Jesus's voice. It says his voice was like the roar of many waters. Okay, what is that talking about? Again, some people get fixated on hearing the voice of Jesus. And we've said many times on Integrated, the Lord speaks to us through his word. That's what he has indicated to us, that he's communicating with us through his word, the Bible. And so we're always a little concerned when we're hearing people who think they're hearing messages from Jesus. Well, anyway, John did hear a message from Jesus. John heard the literal voice of Jesus, and he said it sounded like the voice of many waters. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24, there's a reference to God's voice being like many waters. Have you ever noticed how loud water can be? Like, I think about that sometimes at the beach. If I'm at the beach and it is packed, there's so many people. People bring their speakers nowadays, and they're playing music and all kinds of things. You would think you would hear all of those people. It would be so loud. It would be obnoxious, but it's not. Why is it not at the beach? Why can really, when you close your eyes, you can certainly hear the people right around you, but you can't hear those thousands of people. But what you can hear are the waves crashing on the shore, if you're close enough, right? Like the sand and the waves of the water, they are so loud that they drown out, no pun intended, all of the other sound waves that are going on. And what about if you're in a place with fast-moving water, like a stream or a river that has rocks sticking up, and that water is just crashing against the rocks? Well, it is deafening. Waterfalls can be like that as well. So here, you can just imagine the sound of many waters. That is a roaring sound. That is the voice of authority. Jesus is not just giving you options when he tells you things. He has authority. Let's go on. He says, in his hands, he has the seven stars. Okay, in his right hand, he's holding the seven stars. Later, we learn that those are the angels of the seven churches, or the messengers. The word angel means messenger. So different people debate that. Some people think that these were the people who were like the spokesmen of the church, like maybe a main teaching pastor, but maybe the messengers who were bringing the letters from Jesus through John to the seven churches, right? So they're certainly representatives. And Jesus holds them. He controls them. He owns them. He is the Lord of the church. He also says that from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, which reminds us of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which compares the word of God to a sharp two-edged sword. Jesus speaks the authoritative word of God. He has every right to instruct us and to judge us and to fix us, reprove, rebuke, correct, to train us using his word, which comes from his mouth. And finally, it says, his face was like the sun shining in full strength, the glory of God shining from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture that we have been seeing here. Well, on Integrated, we don't just want to hear God's word, we want to do it. What do you do with this? Well, the very next verse says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And he goes on from there. But we should worship. This is John, Jesus' earthly best friend. He falls before the master, the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, in worship. May we worship Christ, our King, as well, as we go and serve God today.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.